This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
The partnership was formed working for a medical company editing lectures. This was the start of the very popular SEC Shorts. Auburn graduate Robert Clay met Josh Sneed on the job, and their first feature resulted from the Kick Six in 2013. Now they work on ideas through the week, then on Sunday, write, shoot, and edit the SEC Shorts for Monday morning. The story of SEC Shorts with Auburn graduate Robert Clay is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. We're very glad to have with us today Robert Clay, who is one of the creators, one of the producers, one of the actors on the SEC Shorts that so many folks enjoy now, including myself. Very clever and done so very, very well. And glad to have you with us today, Robert. Good to have you here and to talk about SEC Shorts.
Well, happy to be here. Very big fan of yours and just happy to hop on for a second. No worries.
How did all of this begin for you and your cohorts?
You know, it started actually back in 2013. I'm a big Auburn person. And so I was at the Kick Six game and best night of my life. And so I was coming back from the game and I thought it would be funny to take the video clips from the Kick Six and him returning the kickback. And I got with my buddy Josh Sneed and we made a video where we put fake announcers under the call. Basically, these Alabama announcers don't realize you can return a kickback for a touchdown. And they're just thinking they're going into overtime and they don't understand what's happening. So that was really the first thing we ever did was we put that out there and a lot of people liked it and thought it was pretty funny. So we started that and we thought it would be great to do some more of them, but we didn't really have an opportunity to do anything else. And then they launched the SEC Network and Paul Feinbaum's radio show was, you know, broadcasting for like 12 hours a day. So they were looking for content to just kind of space out a little bit from the radio stuff. So we started sending in some little video sketches to them and they really liked them and it just kind of grew from there. So I do the videos with my good friend, Josh Sneed. And we met at my first job out of film school, which was this medical publishing company. And it was a very, very menial job. We were editing lectures for doctors to get continuing medical credits or whatever they were. And so we were just kind of like doing that day to day. And then all of a sudden we were just like, well, this was fun. And he's just the funniest guy you'll ever meet. It was a good partnership. He brings the acting and I bring more of the behind the scenes stuff. So that's kind of how we got our start. And it's just been growing ever since.
Where's home for you, Robert?
We are based out of Birmingham. So I was born and raised here. And then Josh has been living here for many, many years. And so we do everything out of Birmingham. So actors, locations, and you know, trying to make it look like various parts of the southeast region of the country. So okay. It's all out of Birmingham though.
How long have you wanted to be in the film side? How long has that been a career choice for you?
Oh goodness. I could show you some terrible home movies I made as a little kid where we're just trying to recreate Star Wars or whatever. So it was always something I found interesting as a kid. And we had one of those little high eight cameras I was able to use. And we were able to make a bunch of little goofy short films. And they just kind of grew from there. When I was at Auburn, I majored in radio, television, and film. And so I spent a lot of time in Titchener and the Haley Center. And then after that, I went to film school at the University of New Orleans. And that's where I kind of got really the meat and potatoes of the film background. But never really knew what path to take. Certainly would never have imagined it would have led me here. Pretty much since I was a little kid, just always thought it was really interesting to do it.
Show you a different generation. For me, it was a cassette tape recorder when I was about 10 years old that my grandmother gave me. And we're upstairs in my room. I'm Johnny Carson, or we're making up a wiffle ball game or something like that. So I know what you're talking about.
We would have wiffle ball in the backyard and we'd be like, everybody wouldn't want to play in the game. You'd want to be the announcer. You'd have like the, I don't want to play. I want to go call the game. So that was my second choice, sports broadcast announcer.
What has it been like, especially this year? It seems like for you guys, it really has exploded as far as just a sponsorship, and folks are looking for your videos each and every week. So what has this year been like in such an unusual year in so many regards?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is we're just happy to have a year. We, you know, in the summer and really up until August, we were just, this probably wasn't going to happen, we thought. So it's been great. This is our second year on our own where we've kind of had our own sponsor and we're just our own company. So before that, we were at ale.com. And before that, we were just doing it for the Feinbaum show. So it's been great to see, like, the number one, that you have football. I'm just so grateful to be able to watch games on Saturday when it just seemed like you came so close to not having such a huge part of fall Saturdays in the South. And so I think a lot of people have just been willing to just kind of come out and they're just looking for any kind of content they can consume, because it is a weird year. We're getting the games and, you know, the games are still getting canceled every now and again, but just the fact that we have a season, I think, has been huge. So for us, as just making content that goes along with that, it's been fantastic to watch people come out. We've been able to showcase, you know, different teams, you know, whether it was Arkansas or South Carolina. That's been one of the biggest goals for us. You know, I am a big Auburn fan and Josh is a big Alabama fan. So we know those teams, we know those fan bases, but we kind of realized early on in doing this that if we were going to be able to do it long term, we needed to branch out and learn more about these other schools, learn more about their fans. So that's been really rewarding to see. You go out there, you try to make a video that targets Arkansas fans and, you know, it connects with them. So that's been a lot of fun to see the other fan bases get on board with it.
All right, take us behind the scenes, if you would, Robert. How do you guys plan your videos? It's not like you have a ton of time to have something, to get it together and turn it around and get it out at this point.
Yes, it's pretty much all done on Sundays. We'll watch the games and the football games on Saturday and try to, the goal is you're always trying to figure out what's going to be the big conversation topic on Mondays. What's people going to be talking about around the water cooler? And we hope our video can kind of slide into that conversation. And so Florida, Georgia was kind of the big game this week. So we settled on that game pretty quick. And then it was just trying to figure out what type of an angle we were trying to do. We struggled a little bit this weekend. Normally we'll have a script or an idea, usually by noon, and we'll start gathering props. And on this one, we just were struggling a little bit. So we had an idea about 4 o'clock on Sunday. And then it was just scrambling. Once we realized we were going to be doing kind of a queen, we needed a throne, we needed a room. So it was a real big scramble to try to get everything to put together. So we were able to contact a local theater group here, and they had a really big throne. We had to go get, they had the big cape and the crown for our queen. And yeah, this just starts kind of filling out the roster. But normally, in a normal situation, I would say we're filming by about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And usually done filming by about 9.
All on Sunday.
It's my sleep schedule is a little messed up during the fall. So normally I'll start editing, and hopefully, fingers crossed, if it's going well, I'll have the edit done by about 3 a.m. Monday morning. And we'll have that scheduled. Because for what we've realized is that the video has to go up on Monday. Because if you miss a day, you know, people are looking at the next games by Wednesday. So if you want to get your video in there as like a conversation topic, it has to be Monday. So it just is it's a long, long, long day on Sunday. So this particular day, this past Sunday, we didn't get done shooting till about 2 a.m. So that one was pretty much all night, which is somewhat rare these days. We've gotten a lot better about being more efficient and getting the production a little bit more of an on handle. So it varies week to week. We love the ones where we're done shooting by 8 o'clock and we have the video done by 11 p.m. That means we're just humming. So we do try to just go fast and just get it out, because I think speed is our biggest advantage to getting an audience. Is everyone kind of is just waking up on Monday is like, you know, what did Santa Claus leave for us kind of thing.
You work not only behind the camera, but you're one of the actors as well. Do you enjoy the acting part of it?
It's always fascinated me. I would say I'm definitely more interested and better at the behind the scenes stuff. I think this year has been a little weird with COVID. We've tried to pare down the amount of people we're having on set and just try to keep the social distancing and really try and be as cautious as we can with that. So out of necessity, I've been in them a little bit more. I would say, you know, Josh is an actual like actor and he is very talented. I'm always just kind of the guy in the corner screaming or making weird faces. So it's been more of a necessity, I guess, this season, but it is interesting. I tried to do a little acting in high school and theater, but would always get the, you're in the back of the chorus. You're in the back. So it's, I definitely enjoy it, but my real passion is to like film and edit. I have found way more interest in that.
When you're in an editing bay, is it there at the house or do you have facilities, an office that you guys work out of? How does that work?
We do have an office in Birmingham and a lot of times I'll edit from there just to, a lot easier to get focused when you're just there and no distractions and you're just hunkering down. If it's a really, really, really late night shoot, I'll just edit from my own home and just, so I'll just be able to kind of crawl into bed immediately once it's done and uploaded. Cause you know, you'll edit the video. We'll have to export multiple versions for different social platforms. Then I'll have to go and close caption it, which takes a little while. So there's just a lot of little things on the checklist you got to do. So typically I will edit from an office just to be a little more focus driven. But I mean, if it's 6 a.m., I'm going to be just close captioning from the bed or something just to, I can just immediately close my eyes once I hit upload.
As far as behind the scenes and the scripts that you guys are doing, is that a collaboration? Is someone responsible for the scripts that you're doing? How does all of that come about?
So we've kind of got into a routine now where we'll kind of brainstorm and toss around general concepts or, okay, what is the big story going to be? And from there, I'll kind of go off and try to brainstorm ideas and get a script going. And then Josh and I have worked so long together that I can kind of write dialogue and little gags that I think would play to his real strengths as an actor. And so I'll usually go write the script. He's out there finding locations. He's finding the actors. He's getting the props assembled. So we'll kind of split off just to make it way more efficient to divide and conquer on that. So once we kind of have an idea and we have the script in place, then we'll divide up and just assign tasks. And we have to go get all of our film equipment, got to get the lights, got to get the camera. So we'll have all that stuff. And then we'll kind of rendezvous back up at the set and at the location to start shooting. So you have to be good at splitting stuff up just because we were moving so fast.
Is there any conversation or texting on a Saturday, just as far as ideas that come to mind at that point?
All the time. You know, since we both have our own schools that we want to watch. So I'm going to watch the Auburn game just regardless if they're playing, you know, Tennessee Martin or they're playing Alabama. So sometimes the teams that we watch, they're not going to be the main storyline that week. So we'll typically watch our own games and then we'll kind of meet up and determine what the big game is going to be. And we'll watch that one. Sometimes we'll watch it together and other times we'll just be texting back and forth during it, trying to see if anything's sticking out. Like, is there a play? Was there an event? Or was there just a bigger storyline that's kind of developing that we can capitalize on that people will relate to? You know, a couple of weeks ago, it was the week before Halloween. It was kind of a quieter week of football. And so in that situation, it was, okay, well, there wasn't a game that really stood out for us to make a video about, but you know, South Carolina had gone down to Death Valley and just gotten shellacked. So, you know, South Carolina fans were just, they were going from such a high that, you know, they beat Auburn in South Carolina and they just thought they had turned a corner. Then they go down to LSU and just does not work out well for them at all. So we were able to kind of figure out, okay, well, let's see if we can appeal to them a little bit. They're in the dumps right now. Let's see if we can relate to them and make some identity content and show that other people are feeling the way they are. And when we're able to achieve that, we notice our views get quite a bit better where people are like, I feel like that too. And they can share it and share it with their friends. And I'll tell you, after that video where it's basically the video is a South Carolina fan, he's going as a South Carolina fan for Halloween. And everyone's saying, well, that's a lazy costume. What are you doing? And he proceeds to explain, this is the scariest thing you can be. And proceeds to talk about how it's pretty difficult to be a South Carolina fan. But we had so many responses from different fans, just, you could just replace the jersey. And that was me. That's how I feel. So whether it's the Jacksonville Jaguars or, you know, Arkansas, who knows, but people relate to just how it's just nice to see there's a sense of community with what football brings. And if you can bring that out, we have a lot more success.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, That secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama.
What kind of reaction do you get? Because sometimes you're harpooning a school, you've harpooned your school, and Josh has harpooned his school as well. So,
oh, I tell you what, there will be days where you come up to the office on Sunday and you realize I'm going to have to go after Auburn on this one, just for whatever happened, whatever the circumstances were. I think at the end of the day, our main goal that we try to do is we never want to be too harsh. We always want the fan base that we're sort of having fun with to be able to laugh along with us. So it's always been a goal. Now, some fans are a little bit more sensitive than others. So whether we accomplish that or not is up for debate often. But that's what our goal going into it is, never to just completely throw a school under the bus. We always try to make it so that fan base can laugh along with us. So, you know, this year we've been getting a lot of grief that we've been going after Georgia really hard. And I don't know. But sometimes, like last year, the SEC is so cyclical. You know, last year LSU had that amazing year, so we were able to do a ton of positive content for LSU. You know, 2 years ago it was Georgia, and, you know, with Auburn in 2017 having that great run. So, you know, each team sort of has their moments. Like right now, Arkansas is kind of in the middle of a run that they're real proud of. Everyone thought they were just going to be just 0-10 this year, but they've been doing really well. So it's been fun to have that fan base kind of come up. So I feel like, yes, maybe 1 year your team's a little bit down and we're poking them a little bit more than normal. Unfortunately, like, I feel like Tennessee has kind of been bearing the full brunt of the jokes for a lot of the time, but they're really good sports about it. So I think at the end of the day, it really is. It just boils down to, we want that fan base to be able to laugh along with us. And it's very rewarding to see, okay, yes, we kind of made fun of, say, Tennessee this week, but you look at the statistics in the analytics for the video, and Tennessee is the number one state for views in that situation. So that's when you kind of know you did it right.
How do you select the actors? How do you know the folks that we get to see in the SEC shorts week after week?
We have a lot of just friends and people around the Birmingham area who are professional actors. They did a lot of theater. They do various movies. And so we try to establish a recurring just stable of talent that we can kind of pull upon depending on what we know the idea is. It's very last minute. We call it the bat signal we'll send up once we know, okay, we need two people to play a team and a person to play a referee. And then you just start going out. So we have some people that we use regularly on speed dial, some really talented actors in Birmingham that we use a lot are Eric Hall and Leah Luker. And then our new person we've been using a lot this year is Hannah Kirkendall, another former Auburn attendee. Once you kind of realize everyone's strengths, like, okay, you're really good at this type of a role, then we know we can kind of write for people as we go forward. And we haven't been able to do it as much this year, but we really, really love doing these bigger productions where we can just start getting non-actors involved if we just need a lot of people to have a bigger production. It's been a lot harder to do this year, but it's definitely a lot of fun for us. But they're all mostly Birmingham-based, and we're always on the lookout for new talent and people who are willing to just come out there and have some fun and just kind of get what we're trying to do.
Robert, what's next? What's next for SEC Shorts? What's next for you and Josh as your popularity continues to grow?
Oh, goodness. We've just been trying to tread water on our own. You know, it's been such a transition to start essentially running your own company. So it's been, we've been very fortunate to get to work with SEC Network every week. So we'll do a video on Sundays, and that's our big one that we release Monday mornings. But we're able to collaborate with SEC Network every Saturday on their SEC Nation show. So that's been keeping us pretty busy. So what we've been noticed is we're trying to grow, and we have a lot of requests to see if we could branch out and do other conferences, the ACC Shorts or Big 12 Shorts. That would be a little tough. We're already pretty busy as it is, but I think right now we're just really enjoying the path that we're on. And it's just a matter of kind of growing the brand. And, you know, for us, it's just, how can we make these look better? How can we make them more, you know, elaborate? What else can we do to keep it fresh for us? Because I think as long as we're having fun and able to do content that we find rewarding, then I think we'll keep going just kind of on the path we're on and just keep trying to grow it.
You've talked a little bit about it, but I want you to, if you would, expand a little bit on your partnership and your friendship with Josh Sneed and the work that you guys have done. And it all started, as you mentioned, working for a medical company.
You'd go to work on Monday morning and realize, okay, you have to edit the diseased toenail lecture. And so it's like, well, my Monday is not going to be great. So it was really funny. Like this job was so tedious and very, like, very gross that, you know, you'd take a break and you just go to like the break room and you'd just be joking around. Cause I mean, Josh is just, if you just meet him in person, he is one of the funniest people I've ever met just in existence. He's just, as a person, he just has a great sense of humor. So we really just hit it off and we kind of realized we have a very good complementary skill set where I can kind of do camera stuff and edit. And then he's always great on camera. So it was really a natural partnership, but you know, the friendship for us has just grown and we see each other every day. So, and somehow amazingly he's able to put up with me and I'm able to put up with him and have a good working relationship. But, you know, we have a real good friendship group that we go on vacations and we're just hanging out a lot. So it's really nice to be able to feed off the other person's energy. So 1 week, you know, you may come in and you're not feeling it this week. And the other person's like, nope, let's go. So we're able to kind of lift each other up, but it's been a very, very good partnership and just a good friendship.
Did you know each other before the time with the medical company?
No, it was just the first time we met was my first day on that job. It was the week of Halloween and Josh comes to my cubicle to introduce me and to say, hey, I just want to make sure you're going to dress up for the company Halloween party. And so I say, oh yeah, absolutely. I want to fit in here. So Halloween comes around and I roll up in my big Harry Potter costume and I realize there is no company Halloween party. He just made that up. So that was how we got started. So Josh is should not be trusted. And
sounds like an episode of Modern Family right there.
That's a great, great analogy.
All right. What is Iron Bowl Saturday like for the two of you then? I mean, he's got Alabama Ooh. Ties. You have Auburn ties. What's that like?
Yeah, I was able to go. Usually if the game's in Auburn, I'll try to make it down there for it. Past year, we were both in Auburn together, kind of walking around. And, you know, I had my Auburn stuff on. He has Alabama stuff on. And, you know, once it came time to finally go into the stadium, he kind of went off and did his own thing. And, you know, I went into the Holy Land and I was able to, it was just so funny. You know, I was like, I kind of have a high horse. So I'm like, okay, we don't need to rush the field every time we beat Alabama. We don't need to do that anymore. But they end up beating Alabama. It's just like, let's go, follow me. I rush the field every time they've beaten Alabama. And it's a lot of fun. So not that you can condone or support that. I'm not saying you are or not, but all Robert's going to be on the field, though, if the yellow shirts aren't stopping us.
Robert, as you guys work together, I mean, it looks like it's a great collaboration with you and Josh and all the other folks. Could you have imagined during your time as a student at Auburn, what this would turn into for you and for Josh and all the folks that are involved with SEC Shorts?
Oh, no. I mean, honestly, you know, when I was in college, you know, ancient years ago in 2006, you know, YouTube was barely a thing. Facebook had started, but you didn't really know what it was. I just don't think you could have imagined just like the impact that making content and being able to put it out to an audience so easily. It's incredible. I remember like I was in the Auburn marching band while I was down there. And 1 year at the end, I made like a little sketch video for the band to show at our end of the year banquet. And I remember thinking after the video was shown, I was like, that's it. No one's going to see that ever again. It was just like, that was how it was. That's just, once you made content, you would show it to people. It was either on TV or in person. And then after that, boop, that was it. That was done. So it's really cool to be able to see you make content now when you upload it and people, when they discover our brand, they're able to go back to the very beginning and just start watching videos. And a lot of the jokes may not make sense in the context now, but I think that's so interesting. And I think college Robert would have been very impressed that that's even possible with the technology.
Do you find yourself being recognized now on the streets?
I'll get recognized every now and again. Josh gets recognized quite a bit. So if I'm with Josh, they'll kind of recognize us both as just like, oh yeah, those are those dudes. So it is kind of fun with you when you're with Josh. A lot of people, you'll kind of see like a table across the restaurant just staring holes into him. A lot of people are a little scared to come up and like say hello or something. But it's just so funny to see. Some people will come up and be like, oh, I'm a huge LSU fan. And they think we're both LSU fans because all they've ever seen are our LSU videos. So it's kind of weird to them to realize what our true allegiances are. That's been kind of cool to see when people recognize you and they'll walk up to you and say how much they enjoy your work. That's been really fun.
Robert, did you come from an Auburn family? How'd you end up at Auburn?
Yes, yes. My family's a big Auburn family. My grandmother was Coach Jordan's secretary in the athletic department. And both my parents went to Auburn. My brother did. Aunts and uncles, cousins, great-grandparents. It's a long line of Auburn folks. So for me, Auburn was really the only school that I applied to because I just wanted to go down there and get that experience. And so it was really the only place that I looked into. But, you know, my uncle is down in Auburn. My brother's down there. So we'll have, you know, Thanksgiving get-togethers, pregame Iron Bowl parties. And it's just a big part of my family's life and just my own experience. It's not only college, but just kind of what's important to me, really.
When you went to film school, what did you envision in New Orleans as you're in film school down there? I mean, what was the goal for you?
Well, you know, you go down to film school and the goal is always kind of that I'm going to go to Hollywood and I'm going to make feature length films. And that's just the only really avenue to go through. And then as I was down there, I graduated in 2009 from film school. And so that was really when cameras and just the internet technology was just opening up a whole new world of you can write and make your own content and upload it. And you can almost create a brand online, which is just, that was something that was never really even thought about. And so for that to be an option, I'm kind of a control freak when it comes to the content and the writing and everything. And I don't think I would do very well. You know, when I was in film school, they would have a lot of films and movies that would come and shoot in New Orleans. And, you know, you'll be a grip or moving around C-stands, PA work. And it's just kind of like an office job, just in a kind of a cooler setting, I guess. But I always really enjoyed doing the whole process, the brainstorming, the writing, the camera work, the editing, and then just even audio mixing. For whatever reason, I enjoyed that too. So that was just an experience where I realized, all right, if I'm going to be real happy, I think in doing a career in that field, that I need to be able to be involved in all aspects of it. And I think the higher you go in terms of bigger budget things, they really want you to specialize in a certain area. Like, okay, your job is to wrap these cables, or your job is to pull focus on the lens. That's your only thing you're going to do. And so you don't really get that creative fulfillment that I'm kind of looking for in these projects.
Robert, for the aspiring 10-year-old out there that wants to follow in the footsteps of a Robert Clay, what's your advice to someone that maybe they've got a camera and they're trying to create content right now and learn to what you're doing at this point? What's the best piece of advice you would have for someone like that?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, in today's age, once you get a cell phone, you have a camera. You have a camera that's better than what people were using, back in the 90s, back in the 80s. You have the technology just in your hand. And I think that people, especially younger people who are interested in a career in that field, honestly, it's just, you're just about making something. What's so great about today in the modern society we're living in with this, you don't need anyone's permission to go make creative content. You have all the stuff you need. You have an avenue in YouTube or Facebook or social media where you could just create things and upload it. So there's nobody that's stopping you from doing it. And I think that's the thing. Don't worry about what kind of equipment you have or don't have. Just get some of your friends and go out and make some, just start filming or do something with your cameras to get out there. I think that's just the biggest thing I've noticed. Like, you can go to school, you can go to the film school, you can do all the education, and that's all great and wonderful. But especially when you're younger, if you're interested in it, oh man, you can start filming right now with your camera on your phone. And I think that's just the biggest, most powerful, most empowering thing you can do.
Appreciate your time today. Thank you for letting us behind the scenes. We certainly enjoy the work and I appreciate all that you do. Wish you all the best in the future. War Eagle.
Thank you so much for having me, and absolutely, War Eagle.
On the next Talking Tigers podcast, Brett Holmes is an Auburn University student in the McWhorter School of Building Science through the week. On the weekends, the Munford, Alabama native drives really fast. You see, Holmes drives on the ARCA circuit. As a matter of fact, he won the ARCA Menards Series Championship last month. Auburn student, ARCA champion Brett Holmes is next. For Robert Clay and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.